This one was different. The first hint was Milo's tight-voiced 8 a.m. message, stripped of details. "Something I need you to see, Alex. Here's the address." An hour later, I was showing ID to the uniform guarding the tape. He winced. "Up there, doctor." Pointing to the second story of a sky-blue duplex trimmed in chocolate brown, he dropped a hand to his Sam Brown belt, as if ready for self-defense. Nice older building, the classic Cal Spanish architecture, but the color was wrong. So was the silence of the street, sawhorsed at both ends. Three squad cars and a liver-colored LTD were parked haphazardly across the asphalt. No crime lab vans or coroner's vehicles had arrived. Yet. I said, "Bad?" The uniform said, "There's probably a better word for it, but that works." Milo stood on the landing outside the door, doing nothing. No cigar smoking or jotting in his pad or grumbling orders. Feet planted, arms at his sides, he stared at some faraway galaxy. His blue nylon windbreaker bounced sunlight at strange angles. His black hair was limp, his pitted face the color and texture of cottage cheese past its prime. A white shirt had wrinkled to crepe. Wheat-colored cords had slipped beneath his paunch. His tie was a sad shred of poly. He looked as if he'd dressed wearing a blindfold. As I climbed the stairs, he didn't acknowledge me. When I was six steps away, he said, "You made good time." "Easy traffic." "Sorry," he said.
"For what?"
"Including you." He handed me gloves and paper booties. I held the door for him. He stayed outside. The woman was at the rear of the apartment's front room, flat on her back. The kitchen behind her was empty, counters bare, an old avocado-colored fridge free of photos or magnets or mementos. Two doors to the left were shut and yellow-taped. I took that as a keep out. Drapes were drawn over every window. Fluorescent lighting in the kitchen supplied a nasty pseudo-dawn. The woman's head was twisted sharply to the right. A swollen tongue hung between slack, bloated lips. Limp neck. A grotesque position some coroner might label incompatible with life. Big woman, broad at the shoulders and the hips, late 50s to early 60s, with an aggressive chin and short, coarse gray hair. Brown sweatpants covered her below the waist. Her feet were bare. Unpolished toenails were clipped short. Grubby soles said bare feet at home was the default. Above the waistband of the sweats was what remained of a bare torso. Her abdomen had been sliced horizontally below the navel in a crude approximation of a C-section. A vertical slit across the lateral incision at the center, creating a star-shaped wound. The damage brought to mind one of those hard rubber change purses that relies on surface tension to protect the goodies. Squeeze to create a stellate opening, then reach in and scoop. The yield from this receptacle was a necklace of intestines placed below the woman's neckline and arranged like a fashionista's puffy scarf. One end terminated at her right clavicle. Bilious streaks ran down her right breast and onto her ribcage. The rest of her viscera had been pulled down into a heap and left near her left hip. The pile rested atop a once white towel, folded double. Below that was a larger maroon towel spread neatly. Four other expanses of terry cloth formed a makeshift tarp that shielded beige wall-to-wall carpeting from biochemical insult. The towels had been arranged precisely, edges overlapping evenly for about an inch. Near the woman's right hip was a pale blue T-shirt, also folded. Spotless. Doubling the white towel had succeeded in soaking up a good deal of body fluid, but some had leaked into the maroon underlayer. The smell would have been bad enough without the initial stages of decomp.